Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Everybody, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Welcome. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along. And it's getting toward the end of the year. We got this show and then one more show on tomorrow. It's Friday. Today is Thursday. And we'll get two more shows today and tomorrow before the new year, and then we'll be taking Monday off. So get with us, 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com, where you'll find links to all of our social media accounts, including YouTube. Please go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. It's got some great videos talking about driving around four-wheelers and big trucks and all that, and then talking about our most watched video is just me explaining the interaxle differential. I mean, that's just everybody. It seems to be people getting a lot of positive feedback on that video because people just never got explained to it. You know, I remember truck driving school, the guy would point at that button and say, don't flip that switch until you get stuck. Well, that's wrong, right? So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to thank one of our great sponsors. The sponsor I like to thank is Trucker Tools. You can get it, check them out at truckertools.com. Download the app from your app store. That's where you can book freight, track freight. You can also plan your route. You get fuel stops, truck stops, parking, maintenance, even Walmarts. So check them out. That's redneckandeyes.com. You can get the link to Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app, truckertools.com. So let's get rocking and rolling here. And this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Hammer down. We'll be right back.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Everybody, hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live. RedneckandI's.com is our website. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And we'll get back on track with the YouTube. We're usually do YouTube live, and it's kind of messing with us a little bit. So we'll get back on that and see what we can do about it. But this is Redneck and I's Radio Live, where we talk about all things trucking and then some. And I saw, like, I had to go search for it, because it didn't come up in the search results, but I saw on one of my other search results, just in general, it was a FreightWaves article that was posted back on the 22nd of December. So right before the holiday, which, you know, nobody was really doing anything anyway. So it says, once in a lifetime pricing boom in used trucks reverses course. Equipment prices continue trending lower toward normalcy. And what we, you know, of course, what we saw was, is because you couldn't get a new truck because the pandemic shut everything down. So they used trucks were becoming more and more expensive. And what we saw was, is that, I mean, they were going for, like, you know, 100,000 where the people were buying used trucks, you know, and used trucks. I mean, depending on the year and all that, but, like, if you're trying to become an owner operator, start a business, you know, you're and you got some cash in your pocket and you need to buy a truck. All the experts will tell you, don't buy anything over 20,000. You know, until you get a solid work on, you know, your freight lanes and how you're hauling the freight and customer base and all that stuff. Because if you just buy a truck outright and then say, okay, now I need some customers, it's going to be a world of hurt trying to pay for that expensive truck. So that's what all the experts will tell you, and all the old guys that have been at it for a while, they'll tell you that. So when used trucks become, you know, I mean, people need trucks because when your other truck goes down and nobody can work on it because they can't get parts, you need a truck that can run, and people were paying outrageous amounts of money for them. And the worst part, we remember talking about it, was the carriers had used trucks because they weren't hauling that much freight, and they had used trucks sitting on their yard, and they were selling them, actually making money, selling them for more than what they paid for them. And, I mean, this is what happens when you get a big conglomerate that's got cash in the bank and they can just do whatever they want. They can manipulate whatever they want and they can control whatever they want. And I'm telling you, we're sitting here talking about, you know, government intervention, and the truck drivers are the one people, they'll tell you, they don't want government intervention. They don't want the government to come in and tell, because worst thing comes in, what happens is that even OIDA will tell you, you know, when you tell the government, hey, come in and fix this. You know, I mean, that's what the Teamsters did, you know, at the very beginning, back in the 20s and 30s, whatever, you know, wherever, you know, when truck driving became that hot commodity, the Teamsters went to the government and said, you know, we're not going to work unless you set up some parameters that allow us to make money and allow us to be safe. And of course, that's how we got the FMCSA and hours of service. Well, now they run amok, right? Same goes with truck prices. I mean, you look at what happened. They couldn't get new trucks made because plants were shut down for stupid reasons, because we find out now that it's not that stupid. It's big. Never, ever, ever do we need to ever do that again, to shut everything down because of a flu. That's basically what it come out to be. Okay? You can't shut the whole world down because of a flu. Okay? You got, and come to find out, the governments knew about it like 6 months before it actually took hold, and they didn't do anything about it. They were just trying to cover their ass. So, you know, and if you don't believe me in any of that, so if you go, oh, that's, yeah, it's out there. It's out there. Okay? The Congress doesn't want to talk about it because it involves a lot of their bureaucrats that they love. So even the Republicans, nothing's going to happen. Okay, nothing's going to happen because bureaucrats are protected by politicians, and politicians can do whatever they want. Okay, I mean, look at this guy here in New York, the congressman. I mean, I don't know what he lied. Okay, so what he did was, I'm not real sure that he lied on a government document. He might have. But what he told everybody is that he graduated from college and he worked for Citibank or somebody like that, Chase, whatever. And he never did that. He never graduated from any kind of university. And he never worked for directly for, you know, because when he put on there that he was like, you know, the VP or director of certain you know, whatever, that never was. Okay. And he says everybody embellishes on their resume, and they keep saying resume. Even when you watch the report from NBC News or ABC News or whatever, they keep saying resume. So what's a resume? What are you talking about? Because if it's a resume, no big deal. Everybody does that. Everybody lies. He lied to the American people, and they voted for him based on that probably. I don't know. But you know what? So what? That's what politicians do, okay? I mean – Why did this come out now after he got elected and not before? Why didn't somebody do their due diligence beforehand? Maybe they did. Nobody covered it. I don't know. You know, it was up in New York is where it was. So, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, you know, that's what we're diving into now is that if you're a member of one political party and you lie, you're bad. If you're a member of the other political party and you lie, well, that's just part of it. But I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you can be on the Senate floor or the I think even the House. I mean, you could be in Congress speaking at the podium there, you know, or there where we see the president talk, because nobody else pays attention to that area until the president talks. But you could sit there on that podium and you can give a speech and you can lie during that speech and you cannot be held accountable. It doesn't matter. It goes into public record because all those speeches are recorded and it's congressional record and you can lie. You cannot be held accountable, prosecuted, or you know, whatever. You can't do that, you know. And it basically, it's all unprovable stuff, you know, and all that. What do you call it? Harry Reid from Nevada got up there one time before Mitt Romney. I mean, Mitt Romney was running for president, and before the election, he got up there on the Senate floor and he says, Mitt Romney has not paid. You know, he goes, I mean, like, he's got the documents, and he looks and he holds up these pieces of paper saying, these are documents that I've found that I've gotten. And it's proven here. It's proof here that Mitt Romney never paid any income tax, you know, in the last 10 years or whatever. And it's like it's a flat out lie, you know, because Mitt Romney, unlike Trump, releases tax reforms. And now they're coming out saying, you know, Trump needs to release tax reforms. Okay, listen, they all need to or they don't. Okay, I don't think they need to. They have to submit the forms to the government. And they have to submit the forms to the IRS. You know, if he's doing anything illegal, anything wrong, then it's against the law and he goes to jail. But the tax laws are crazy. So that's, I mean, you know, whatever. But again, the trucks are now coming back. Prices are falling. And I think this might have a lot to do with also with the restrictions that a lot of these states are putting on, like California, where you can't even own an older truck. That's what I think. So I dove into this article a little bit, and it doesn't really do it that much. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I thought that the intriguing article, but I guess it's just quick bait. And it starts with, used truck prices reversed year over year gains in November for the first time since 2020, suggesting a normalized environment is returning after a year of unprecedented high prices. Following the once-in-a-lifetime price boom of 2021, the used truck market in 2022 started coming back down to earth as the freight environment cooled and the supply of the new trucks increased incrementally. This is from Chris Weiser, J.D. Power Valuation Services Commercial Vehicles Senior Analyst and Product Manager. Damn, put that on a business card. Jesus. For drivers who pay top dollar for the used tractors hoping to make a killing in the elevated spot market, well, that dream is over. It's safe to say that there will be many truck owners underwater on their loans in 2023. Many will face repossessions, Weiser told FreightWaves. Yeah. I mean, you could have saw that coming. You know, maybe the problem with truck driving is it's really easy to get into the business. It's not that hard. Okay, if you've already got a driver's license, then all you got to do is take a test to get a CDL. I didn't think the CDL test in the state of Texas was that hard. I did everything right except for the Palladale parking and completely botched that. That wasn't a big deal, you know. So, to me, and it says we'll face repossession, he told FreightWaves. Well, you know, and a lot of that, too, is it's that predatory lending stuff, you know, and all that. And everybody, I don't know, it's just, to me, I think if you go to a legitimate bank, if you go to a bank and that bank's business is to make money, that bank's business, their business is, you know, checking savings accounts. Second of all, their businesses are car loans and house loans. And you go there for a business loan, a lot of times they scrutinize the hell out of these business loans. They want to know the collateral and all that stuff. And, you know, you show them that truck and there is no Kelley Blue Book. There is no like place to go to get appraisal. You basically have to take it to a dealership and the dealership has to write an appraisal. And I've done that a few times and you know what? They can do whatever they want. There's no set standard. You know, the bank, all they can do is they should have to say, take this truck to this dealership and get it appraised. Because if you can just go down to some other dealership somewhere else and pay the guy $50, he'll give you a good price on there, and that's what the price is worth. That's not what he'll pay for it, but that's what the price is worth. So yeah, I think it's based on that. And we got these predatory lending where they're in the business of making these very high interest loans. And you know, naturally, a loan for a big truck is always not going to be that high, but if you don't have good credit, they're just going to run their interest rate up. Says Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration data shows that the number of monthly net operating authority revocations in 2021 surpassed the most recent pre-pandemic peak in 2021. The current figure is roughly double 2019, but doesn't mean revoke resulted in a truck hitting the used market. It says year over year, retail used truck prices dropped for the first time since August of 2020. It says at retail, the average sleeper tractor was 73 months old, had 469,000 miles on them and was bringing in $89,810. According to Power, for the first time since August 2020, year over year prices for used trucks dropped in an aggregate ACT research reported. I don't understand what that means. Was the truck worth $89,000, or you mean it brought in $89,000? I don't understand that. Or I guess it sold for $89,000. So it's 73 months old. Okay. 469,000 miles. That's low miles for that truck. And it was 89,000. I mean, that truck's probably going to be expensive no matter what, because that's not a lot of miles. You figure a truck that's got normal miles on it, it's going to have 120 a year. 120 a year after 5 years, it's going to have, what, 600,000? So, and that's all, a little less than 150,000 short of that, and it's even older. So, says there's no escaping the reality of that is excess freight hauling capacity in the declining economy and freight market, said Steve Tam, ACT Research Vice President. That simple fundamental imbalance quite a bit sway when it comes to used truck pricing. One response, independent truckers parking rigs they overpaid for and taking jobs with for hire carriers, others leave the industry altogether. Month over month, Class 8 used volumes sold by the same dealers fell 15% and were 38% lower compared with November 2021, ACT said. So, would-be buyers are watching used truck pricing from the sidelines. Some still motivated potential buyers watch from the sidelines as they balance higher interest rates, resulting in less equity against a cooling freight market. At auction, pricing for clean trucks with average to low miles have held stable since September. Since the market correction began in the first quarter, trucks with 400,000 miles or fewer have barely lost any value, Power said in its monthly guidelines newsletter. While new truck deliveries rise, the production is significant to generate much in the way of late model trade-ins. Selling prices remain 40 to 45% higher than the last pre-pandemic peak. Looking ahead, analysts predict a continuing decline in the percentage of trucks engaging in moving freight. The nadir should come in the third quarter of 2023. Says the current floor in auction pricing should shift back to depreciation as the supply of new trucks results in more late model trade-ins, Power said. So, I mean, so what they're saying there is the newer trucks are hanging in there, the prices. But the older trucks, the ones that the new owner-operators should be investing in, those are the ones that are falling off. And I would say I wouldn't even think about buying a truck. You know, I knew people that had trucks, and they weren't really interested in selling, but they saw how expensive they were, so they put them in the truck paper, you know, and put a price tag on them. And waited for somebody to call. And I don't know. They never said anything called or anybody called. So I'm not too sure what happened with that. That's the way it goes sometimes. You know, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. So if you went out and bought a truck and paid way outrageous amount of money for it, and now you're getting hit, now you're turning into the bug. You know, and if you had a truck and you sold it for more than what you paid for it, then you were the windshield, right? That's how it goes. So check us out, RenegadEyes.com. We're hanging in there, talking about all things trucking and then some and all that stuff. So there we go. So check us out, RenegadEyes.com. I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's LTR Transportation. You can check them out at LTRTransportation.com. Great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. Go look them up, LTRTransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation. We'll see you in a bit.
6 o'clock news, see somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far. Grandpappy told my pappy back in my days long, a man had an answer for the wicked thing he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall oak tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street. For all the people to see. That justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. Well, the gunsmoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds.
Too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
Send them all to their maker and you'll settle on them.
You can bet you settle down. Cause justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying, whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. You know, justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your
thorns,
you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the
local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hey, this is Dave with Redneckinize Radio. Appreciate everybody joining along. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. Talking about all things trucking and then some. And just seeing how things are everybody working out for the new year. Things seem to be having a lot of fun. So, big things planned down here in South Texas. The weather's getting really nice so down here. So, we got some stuff planned during the day. We got a ride scheduled for Sunday the 1st. It's been happening every year for several years now, so this will be my second time doing it. And it's really fun, especially when the weather's nice, and we're expecting that to be, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I know, check us out, redneckinize.com. Give us a call at 515-602-9731. And I don't know, we're just talking about all things trucking and then some. I was talking about how used truck prices are falling, and what we're seeing now is diesel prices are falling, And guess what else is falling? Freight. Freight rates. And freighting, I mean, we're diving into, I mean, technically we were in a recession, and then I guess we came out of it. But it's, you know, as long as there's heavy restrictions on the big businesses like gas and oil and manufacturing with the EPA and all that stuff like that, you know, and then you're not really certain of what the Congress will do about raising taxes and stuff. The inflation rate is still going up. That's you know, that's exactly what's going on, is the inflation rate is still, it, the only thing we can do is look at what it's doing year over year. Now, I think for December, or was it November, it's like, you know, it like fell 1% from the month before. And so what we did was, is that there were a couple of news channels that are like really upset, because used to inflation, whenever you judged inflation, it was always year over year. So whenever you look at inflation for November, you always compared it to inflation from November a year ago, because inflation should be so small that you can't measure it in month to month. You can only measure it in year to year. And of course, the Federal Reserve says that we want it to be 2%, and it's fine. Well, now what's happening is that the Federal Reserve says that 4% is fine. So whenever you see it now, still at around 6 or 7 year to year, they're saying it's coming down, because it wasn't 9 year to year. Now, the White House will have you say that as long as it's lower, as long as it's not, I mean, like if it goes up 2% from month to month, well, that's the goal. Well, no, that's not the goal. The goal is year to year. So don't, you know, you got to understand, and that's the other thing. We got to get, you know, people, American people, we got to get educated to what they're talking about. Don't let them say that, you know, and all that. You know, I was talking to a few people before, months ago, about Social Security, okay, and how there are Republicans that want to, you know, take it back. Don't allow the Social Security to be paid out as much and everything. And, of course, a lot of people that I know and even, like, looked up to, they're like, well, that's my money. They should be giving me my money back. And I had to argue with them, because it's not your money. It's taxpayer money. They didn't do what they said they did. They didn't take the money and put it up in a shoebox or you know, put it up into some kind of IRA account and just let it sit there. They didn't do that. Okay? It's all a paper mirage, Social Security. And what they need, it's a giant Ponzi scheme. What it is that they need to tax people money. The working people have to pay taxes so that they can pay the people getting Social Security. And now we've changed all the rules. Used to, it was only if you were disabled or if you were retired, right? When they changed when they come out with Social Security and they said, when you turn 65, you'll get Social Security. The average lifespan for the American male was 62. So it wasn't, you know, and now the average lifespan, what is like 70, 72, 70, 74. That's the average. And so, but the retirement rate is still, you can get, you know, at 65, you can do it and do whatever. I think it's, I don't know. I forgot what it is, but anyway, it's a set rate at a certain time, but most people are waiting until the very last, which is, you know, at 67, 68, or even 72. And the funny thing is at 72, they start giving it to you whether you want it or not. And you have to get with them and all that. And, of course, a lot of places, if you work, let's say that you are a company driver and you're getting health insurance through your work. Well, as soon as you become eligible for Medicare, they'll drop you. They won't carry you. So you got to go get Medicare, you know, and then you got to pay them. And we have, now they'll tell you, we have the supplemental stuff that you can pay for, but we're not your main guy. Medicare is. because the government said we'll take them no matter what. And that's the insurance companies are like, we're not taking them, basically what it is. So all that stuff, if they just leave it as it is and don't really modify it drastically or increase taxes drastically, then it's not going to be there. Especially if you are in your 30s or 40s, it's not going to be there. It's going to go up, you know, there's not going to be enough people working to support it because we've shipped all of the jobs. They either come automated or they've been shipped overseas. So it's not going to be there. And the government can't stop spending money. They can't do it. And that's when inflation kicks in. So inflation is because the government takes on debt. That's why inflation happens. Okay. So let's say that you're not doing anything wrong. You're saving money in your bank account and you're not relying on any kind of government assistance. You're not relying on anything being paid for. You pay for everything yourself and you're saving money and that money is making money, you know, in the stock market or whatever you got in there, right? If you got money sitting in the bank and you keep voting for these politicians that allow money to be spent and money to be debt to be taken on by the federal government and money to be printed by the federal government, that money in your account just sitting there, not even doing anything, nothing's happening to it. It's worth less. It's just the value of that money goes down. Even it doesn't even matter if you stick it under your mattress for a rainy day and then you vote for Joe Biden and he goes out there and he spends $2 trillion on just crazy stuff, that money won't get you that far. It's done. So, you know, we educate yourself. Understand it that a lot of people will tell you, there's a lot of these government guys. I'm telling you, man, you get on YouTube or you get on CNN, even Fox News, and all of these, you know, I'm an economist and I work for, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase, or I work for the New York Times, and I'm a world-renowned economist. I wrote these books, and da-da-da-da-da. They'll tell you it's complicated because of the way things da-da-da, you know, like this. And one guy, he worked for Bill Clinton, and he goes out there and says, debt's okay as long as the GDP keeps growing. Debt's okay. And I'm here to tell you, man, it doesn't matter. Debt is never okay. Okay? Especially, I mean, okay, if one thing is to take on debt where you don't have control of the currency, you cannot manipulate, you know, like just like right now, you go out there and you buy a house or you buy a car and you take on a loan for the car, especially the house. Everybody takes on loans for the house. Okay. The currency you don't have control over, right? You negotiate the deal and then you go ask the bank for the money. The bank provides the money, but the value of that currency, And that is based off, and that everything is based off that value. All the prices of products that we buy is based off the value of that currency, right? Okay, you don't have control over it. The federal government has control over that currency. They can control the value of that currency. They just don't choose to. Okay, debt, a little bit of debt to buy a house, you know, maybe even start a business. That debt might be okay for you, but when you're controlling the currency, when you're in charge of making sure the currency is sustainable for people to buy stuff and to live, debt is not good for you. That's, I mean, government debt should be like, shouldn't be any government debt allowed. Okay. And you say, well, how do we do things? Well, you do things by creating the incentive to do them, and then there's a value attached to those things, okay? There's a value attached to the road. People are willing to pay to have the road built because there's value attached to that. It's just, I mean, the government is the referee. It's the one standing there saying, you know, I'm looking out for the interest of both parties, and I'm standing there saying that, if you want this house or if you want this business built here, then you're going to have to establish a road to get to that business from that road. People will say, it's worth it. I'll build the road. Okay? And there's nothing saying that they have to build the road. It's like if you want you know, it's an incentive to build that road. And the government should say, I need you to build that road, you know, and all that. But these days, because businesses, it's like the governments are kissing the businesses' asses. And that shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't be the case. All right. If you want a business to set up near you, then you've got to give that business the incentive to set up near you. Okay, and we see that there's decisions being made. Right now, Elon Musk and Tesla is looking at building some warehouses and like to store batteries or to manufacture, like finish manufacturing, I guess, the stuff they're bringing in off the ships or whatever. And they're doing it here in Corpus Christi. They're looking at doing that. And what they're seeing is, I mean, really, I don't even think the governments in the area have to do anything. What they see is they see value, a land, lots of land next to an interstate that is low in value. The land is underdeveloped. The land is near an underdeveloped town that doesn't have much. They have an infrastructure, but it's barely there. You know, there's a lot of crime. It's Robstown. In fact, nobody, if anybody's listening knows, there's a high crime. There's heavy drug use. You know, it's not that bad. Nobody wants to live there, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they're going to set up a business there. Now, building that business there will bring in, you know, tax revenue to the city and hopefully draw people to the area to work, to live there and work there. Or to Kingsville, where it's just a drive, a little drive, short drive. Or to Corpus Christi, where it's a short drive to that town. But it's an incentive for the town to do that, but the government shouldn't be trying to, you know, give them all kinds of like cakewalk deals, which they probably will. But because the lawyer that gets paid the most works for the big company, so the lawyer is going to go in and negotiate, and the lawyer that doesn't make a lot of money works for the county or the city, and they're like, sure, no problem. And it's like, no, that's not the way it should be. You know, because then what's going to happen is the town's not going to make any money. That's what we saw that. I mean, I'm in agreement with what's her name up there, AOC in New York. She took offense to Amazon building in her district in New York because they were getting a bunch of tax incentives to set up there. And that would draw down, that would not bring in that much tax revenue. It would create jobs, though. Okay, the people want jobs. People need jobs. So then I'm like, well, I don't think it's worth that much. I would probably go to the negotiating table and say, nah, it's not, I don't want you to get that big of a deal. I want you to get a little less deal, you know, but the governments are the race to the bottom now to get businesses to come in. Businesses can come in and not have to pay any taxes or anything. I mean, look at Disney. Disney had got a special law set up on their behalf to build Disney World in Orlando, created their own entity so that they could, you know, basically have their own infrastructure and own city and not be under any kind of thumb of the government. And then nobody knows this until they start criticizing the governor, and the governor's like, hey, I don't like you criticizing me. I'm going to take away that law, you know? And I mean, is that right or wrong? I don't know. I think the governments shouldn't be in the business of trying to manipulate things. You know, that's what we got into with the whole, you know, school system. And truck drivers, we'll tell you, we don't like government intervention. That's what we don't want. I just talked about that a little bit. We don't like government intervention. You know, we want the government to be the referee. But however, the problem is that the referee is being paid off by the big corporations. And that's what's happening. And just like the whole AOC thing, her defense was that they're going to come in with low wage jobs. The jobs are not going to pay as much. You know, the employees, the people, the citizens, they're like, hey, that's going to create jobs. And she was trying to fight for higher paying jobs, which is great. That's noble. The problem is that when you ain't got no jobs and especially if you're in New York where there's not really that much property to be able to build off of, and it's expensive to build because all the taxes are cheap, so you're giving these tax incentives away, you know, and all that. Because you basically just chased yourself out of the market. Nobody's going to build in your area because you charge too much. Cost of living is too high. So you can't pay people low wages because of the, you know, so yeah, she's trying to fight it for it, but what she doesn't realize is that she changed some policies over here, moved some things around, everything would work out better. But she doesn't think that way. You know, she wants to have more money flowing into the government so that she can spend what she wants because, again, she wants to be able to manipulate and control. And we got to stop doing that. Stop trying to manipulate and control. Just stop it. The governments can't do it. You know, certainly the corporations can't do it because the corporations, I mean, shoot, man, they change their minds on a whim. They do whatever they want. You know, or I mean, they don't do whatever they want. They go whatever the mob mentality tells them to do, you know. And they won't just stick to their guns and say, you know, all we do is sell soda. We don't try to cater to anybody. We just want to sell soda. You know, we just want to open a store for everybody to come. We don't want to, you know, be forced into doing anything. They don't say that. They just say, oh, we'll do whatever you need to do. Just don't hate us. Stop it. Okay. I mean, we say this in motivational speaking, know your value. Well, these businesses, governments, know your value too. Okay, and don't, and basically what we're doing is we're allowing the government to take everything from us so they can spend money, and then they call up the corporations to bail them out, and bailing them out by giving them all kinds of incentives that don't really make any money, so they in turn have to start raising your taxes again because, oh yeah, now you're making more money because you got jobs now. And that, thanks to us, you got jobs. So you need to be kissing our ass. And we got to stop it. Stop it. Man. I don't know. That's about it for me. I got to get to work. So we got one more show tomorrow. And what was I looking at before? It's a couple of things. Yeah, there was one that got published today, an article. It says, Transformational Deals in Trucking During 2022, a Recap of the Year's Most Impactful Transactions. We'll talk about that tomorrow. It's got a picture of Heartland Express. I think it's, I mean, I don't want to read anything into the photograph, but the photograph is a picture of Heartland Express going down the highway and they're passing a sign that has gas exit, what is that, exit 59. And it's got the Loves, the TA, and the Shell, and the Speedway, I think it is. And it's like, well, that's appropriate when you're talking about impacts and all that. The reason they did that is because the caption on the photo says Heartland Express doubled in size during 2022. So that's what they're going to talk about. USA Truck now part of DB Schenker. XPO breakup nears completion. Werner keeps making deals. So, yep, find out what that's all about. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Down here. I was listening to a lot of music that was from Yellowstone. If you guys ain't caught 1923, yeah, it's pretty good. It's got a lot of stuff in Africa where one of the sons is a hunter, and that's pretty good. Harrison Ford's character, his motto is that man will always try to take what's yours instead of building it for themselves. So you've got to protect it, and you've got to make it to where they're scared. And so he does that. Some sheep herders come into his property trying to graze off his land. And, of course, grass is valuable. So he takes the sheep herders, ties them up to the tree with the horses on them. It's funny because there's like 10 or 12 of them. He ties their hands, sits them on their horse, ties their hands, and then wraps a noose around their neck and ties it to the tree. So if the horse moves and walks away, then, of course, he's going to hang, right? So he just leaves, and the horses are sitting there and all that. So his son, or not his son, but his nephew and the people that work for him say, so what do you expect? Do you think someone will make it? And he's like, well, I want someone to make it because I want them to go tell everybody else what happened. That way people will think twice about taking what's mine. So that's what he said. And then at the end of the show, you find out that most of them all, and then the one guy, you know, every time the horse starts moving, he's like, no, like that. And one of the horses actually walks away and then walks back toward him. So he reaches down into the saddlebag. He was able to get one of the saddlebags off the other horse and get a knife and free his hands. And he made it through. The horse started walking away as he was untying his hands. So eventually he was hanging, and then he reached up and grabbed the rope, pulled himself up and was hanging there, and then was able to cut the rope. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, he was like, I hope people survive. I hope they learn and they go back and tell everybody else what happened so that people will think twice before trying to take what's mine. That's what he said. So that's pretty cool. So check us out, RedneckAndEyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we're just talking about all things trucking and then some. So I'm going to get out of here and hope everybody has a good night. So stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Living back in Tennessee, and she tries to understand the way I feel. I could give my hands to another line of work. I'm a prisoner of the highway, imprisoned by the freedom of the road. Don't you know I'm a prisoner of the highway, driven on by my restless soul. Call me a prisoner of the highway, imprisoned by
today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.